than the rest who fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying? Because Uncle Sam got a plan.
Welcome back to the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour. So joining us right now is Jeff Cohen to talk about his role in organizing the NADER 2000 leaders united to defeat Bush and his thoughts on the role of the progressive movement in the elections. Jeff Cohen is the founder of FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and the co-author of several books on corporate media, most recently being Wizards of Media Oz, Behind the Curtain of Mainstream News. Welcome, Jeff.
Nice to be with you, Tammy.
So, the NADER 2000 leaders to defeat Bush. I'm just going to take a second and read a bit about what you guys are standing for and talk a little bit with you about the signatories and the movement that you guys are trying to build. So, you can look at it at www.votetostopbush.com, and it's stated, "We, the undersigned, were selected by Ralph Nader to be members of his 113-person national NADER 2000 Citizen Committee. This year, we urge support for Kerry/Edwards in all swing states, even while we strongly disagree with Kerry's policy in Iraq and other issues. For people seeking progressive change in the U.S., removing George W. Bush from office should be the top priority in the 2004 presidential elections. Progressive votes for John Kerry in swing states may prove decisive in attaining this vital goal."
By the way, a bunch of people were involved in drafting this, including Howard Zinn, the historian, and John Cavanaugh, who's the head of the Institute for Policy Studies, John Stauber, who's written such great books about the public relations industry.
Sure, and we got signatories like Grace Lee Boggs, Detroit activist and writer, Francis Fox Piven, Manny Marable, Cornel West.
Rabbi Lerner, Barbara Ehrenreich, Noam Chomsky, David Barsamian, Ben Cohen of Ben & Jerry's, Steve Cobble, Troy Duster, the professor from NYU, David Karras, the great civil rights lawyer, Jim Hightower, Randy Hayes of Rainforest Action. There's 74 people that signed this. Basically, this is the bulk of the NADER 2000 Citizens Committee, that Nader handpicked a group of people that he respected to represent him in 2000 as his top endorsing committee. And the overwhelming bulk of that committee is now saying, if you live in a swing state, you've got to work to defeat Bush. And I think the goal here is that we progressives not separate ourselves from activists in minority communities, in labor unions, in environmental groups, in feminist groups. For a couple years now, I think anyone on the left has noticed that groups were coming together whose overriding goal, while they disagreed on some things, is we can't really achieve progressive change. We're even in fear of our civil liberties if we don't get rid of this administration. So it was amazingly easy to get this huge group of prominent people that had supported third parties in the past and supported Ralph Nader in 2000 to say, this time, this election, it must be about defeating Bush. And in swing states, that means a vote for Kerry.
If we fall on the safe state, swing state theory, though, we more and more actually disagree with that in terms of it's a bit confusing in our ability to do national work and the importance of, you know, having on-the-ground movements that are able to draw some type of synergy so that come November 3rd, regardless of Bush or Kerry, we're in a better position to take on either in terms
it's
of
true.
What we're trying to do.
Again, I think that the people who signed this statement, NADER 2000 Leaders United to Defeat Bush, may not necessarily agree. I'm sure some of them are going to vote for Nader or the Greens in their safe states if they live in one. I think the key point was defeating Bush in these swing states. The election's going to come down to 20 and then 15 and then 10 states by November 2nd. And the goal was to just focus people's attention that the sense of the signers was you don't have the luxury to vote third party in those states. I agree with you that it's important that we build a national movement, not only against Bush, but a national movement for progressive reform, serious fundamental reform. I'm excited by the fact that a bunch of new groups have formed. One group has formed out of the Kucinich campaign called Progressive Democrats of America, headed by Tim Carpenter, who had been an activist in Orange County for decades, and now he lives in Massachusetts. There's a lot of new energy because there's so much activism that wasn't apparent a few years ago in electoral work. And I noticed it when I was briefly the National Communications Director for Kucinich, that the base of the Democratic Party is very much transformed. Even during the Vietnam War and after McGovern got the Democratic nomination in 72, you couldn't say that the base of the Democratic Party was uniformly anti-war. But you can say that today. And you can say that the Democratic Party base is uniformly anti-corporate trade agreements like NAFTA and World Trade Organization. And if you look at what's happened in the base of the party, and it's not well reflected by Kerry, that's for sure, but the base of the Democratic Party, I think, is much more progressive than it was a few years ago. And that's because into the Democratic Party has come a lot of young activists, some might even say radical activists, that came out of first the global justice movement that burst on the scene in the wake of the Battle of Seattle, and then in the anti-war movements that grew out of Afghanistan and especially the war in Iraq. You wouldn't know it from John Kerry and his perpetual vacillation, but you would know it by looking broader and deeper at the Democratic Party, that there's a lot of progressive trends that weren't there a few short years ago.
But then, Jeff, it's not even reflected in the Democratic platform. So even Kyoto, which Clinton had signed and Al Gore had endorsed, is blatantly not on the platform.
Oh, again, the platform to me is appalling, although platforms rarely matter. I mean, Kucinich tried to get a couple platform planks, and he didn't have anything close to enough votes. I mean, what I'm seeing is that at a grassroots level, locally, whether people are operating inside the Democrats or in the Greens or some independent progressive formation, there's a new activism around electoral work. And the idea is, and there's so many different groups, even some of the Howard Dean remnants are working on this and doing a good job. There's this sense that the Christian Coalition and the far right wing took over a major political party, the Republican Party, and they did it through about 20 years of local organizing. And there's a sense on our side that in some places the Democratic Party is either a shell or it puts up candidates that don't represent the people who live there. I'm in the state of New York talking to you where it's an anti-war state. Even some Republicans are anti-war. This state is thoroughly against the war, and we have two Democrats in the U.S. Senate, Charles Schumer and Hillary Clinton, that both voted for the war. And, you know, I've been speaking in grassroots groups around New York for years, and this time, in recent months, when I say New York can do better than two senators like Schumer and Clinton that voted for this war, I get standing ovation. And a few years ago, there would be people that think, oh, Hillary, she'll be good, or, you know, Schumer's not that bad. And I think there's a new awakening that the people that represent us, especially in the Senate and in the White House for the Democratic Party, don't in any way represent their constituents. They don't represent racial minorities. They don't represent labor activists. They don't represent feminist or environmental activists. They certainly don't represent the peace movement. But that we can get people into office now with our newfound strength and our ability to use the internet to organize, our ability to organize electorally at the local level. There's a lot of interesting things that are happening that are way beyond Kerry, even though it's important that Kerry defeat Bush, and we helped Kerry defeat Bush.
I'm speaking to a lot of young organizers working in communities of color who, before, you know, the radical point was to say that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are very similar, right? And to get people to move past that into looking at building real institutions. But it's been a struggle just to get them to see the nuance of the necessity to take a stand in terms of if the whole world is looking for us to defeat Bush, then the only way to do that is to let Kerry.
I think you just hit a key issue, the whole world. I mean, I traveled internationally in 84, and I remember people, every country I went into, they said, we should vote for your president because Reagan insists on running the world. Mm-hmm. Well, that sentiment is even stronger 20 years later. And there's people all over the world, whether you're talking about people in Brazil, people in India, people in Europe, people in Africa, that are looking to us to get this guy out of office. And some of them may know the shortcomings of Kerry. Some of them may not know the shortcomings of Kerry because they know there was this huge anti-war movement in America, and some of them aren't clear that Kerry really was in no way a part of that movement. But what they all understand is, and they all want us to do, and deliver for them a global victory, which is take this global criminal and get him out of office. And I'm passionate about it because you are right. There are some people that look at Kerry's inadequacies, which are severe, and they say, oh, what's the difference? I'm staying home, or I'm voting Nader, or I'm voting Green, even if I'm in a swing state like Wisconsin or Ohio. I think it's important that we understand that getting rid of Bush, a global criminal who started a war around the United Nations, that's something that the whole world is looking to us to do. They don't have the ability to cast a vote in this election, but we do. Mm-hmm. And that's where things begin. And then, as you say, this November 3rd coalition, where we really start holding elected officials accountable in minority communities and progressive communities and liberal communities, the fight doesn't end on November 2nd. It begins. If we don't see the importance on behalf of the whole world of getting Bush out of office, I think we're really operating from an elite perspective.
But then here's the dilemma for us. What role are we going to play in this campaign? Because we still do need to try to push Kerry to the left. Democrats in Florida are totally ignoring the black community. There was just an article in the opinion section of the Los Angeles Times where the Florida Republicans are doing their damnedest to X out the black vote, and you have no Democrats speaking on behalf of it. And every single issue from women's right to choose to the environment to civil rights, Kerry is blank on. So what role can we do in order to push him further to the left and not further alienate his base?
I believe that the pressure is on and it's constant. Kerry seems almost inert. And if he remains that way till November 2nd, he loses. You can't continually diss your base. You can't push away from your base and win an election. Gore tried to push away. He lost. And I think that the good thing about some of the work, I mean, that we did, and you can find it on votetostopbush.com, there's no apology or pretense that Kerry is a progressive. That's a mistake. Anyone who's trying to paint Kerry as a savior or a progressive, this election is not about Kerry. This election is about getting Bush out. And Kerry is a representative, I think, of what needs to be changed about the Democratic Party. And you put your finger on it. They're not even fighting for the right to vote in the state of Florida, nor did they fight for African Americans in Florida as the election was being stolen in the year 2000. And it's clear that electorally we need to continue building our own independent formations, and where we can completely take over and transform the Democratic Party so that it is a vehicle for progressive change. And I think that we're in a crunch now in the next 5 weeks where we can be working on two things simultaneously. If you stand apart from the effort to defeat Bush, then you really are basically cutting away any bridges there are to activists of color and labor activists and peace activists. You've got to build the bridges to those people that are working like 16-hour days to get rid of Bush. We have to be part of that. And believe me, those people have been radicalized. Everywhere I go, I talk to people who say, you know, they talk about the local struggles they're building, the coalitions they're building, the email lists they're building, the rallies they're building against Bush. And the joke, and it's a sick joke, the inside joke is, man, everything's going great. If only we had a candidate. And if Kerry gets in November 2nd, and I sure hope that he does, and I'm working to make sure that he does, the good thing is that there's no illusions about this guy. Clinton was the kind of guy who could pass himself off, at least during a campaign, as a populist. And the good thing is, when we defeat Bush on November 2nd, we have a ready-made movement that understands Kerry is not the answer. He's the answer to the problem of getting Bush out, but he's not the answer to long-term progressive change. That's a good thing.
Sure.
That there aren't illusions about him. And it will lead people, I think, to immediately get Bush out, get Kerry in, and then start working toward deeper reform. And I know from the people I've talked to who were formerly Nader 2000 endorsers who are now pushing to defeat Bush, people are already talking about massive marches against Kerry in April if he does not fundamentally change the Iraq policy.
a lot of us are part of an attempt on the progressives and independents to defeat Bush, looking at just what you said, John Kerry without illusions. But we do still have the obligation in terms of credibility with our constituency. I mean, obviously, trying to organize with some independents away from the Democratic Party to try to put some pressure on them. What attempts are you doing in terms of, is there any with the 75 people who have been signatories to try to bring up the issues that Kerry is not bringing up in order to put some pressure there?
Oh, I think that's happening from individuals and groups who have contacts into the Kerry campaign. I want to say that the seven, you know, there was a discussion among the coordinators of this statement.
Clean it up.
Should we approach the Kerry campaign and start making demands? And it was our feeling that we would immediately lose legitimacy as a group that's trying to cut a private deal with Kerry, or some group that's trying to get something accomplished for the members of that group with Kerry. And it was our sense that any kind of a formal orientation toward Kerry was a mistake, because our main approach was to try to talk to activists and voters, especially those in swing states, but those nationally, about the importance of getting Bush out, period. And so there was a sense that if anyone wants to make those overtures to Kerry, it should be done in small groups and as individuals, mm-hmm. but that this group of signers was going to stay completely independent of the Democratic Party and completely independent of the Kerry campaign and not coordinate in any way with those people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the best way to what's going to happen on November 2nd is, if Kerry wins, because he's run such a lackluster, vacillating campaign, he will probably win a narrow election. Everyone who's got their eyes open will realize he won this election because of the left. He won it because of minorities. He won it because the peace movement, in spite of his vacillation, wanted to get the war criminal Bush out of office, and did. And so I think there will be an understanding that this narrow victory for Kerry is a victory that could not have happened even with sort of the moderate liberal groups like Move On, the groups on the Internet like True Majority that have a lot of good principles around war and empire. And it could not have happened without the activism that's been happening in the progressive sectors of our country. That's what I think anyone alert will know. Now, the mainstream media pundits could miss that completely, as they tend to miss most things in mm-hmm. the world. But I don't think it'll be, I don't think there'll be a failure to grasp it among Democrats, because if Kerry's going to win, it's going to be a massive get-out-the-vote effort. And it will be massive in certain cities, in certain key states, and everyone's going to be able to see what happened. And this isn't something that has happened because Terry McAuliffe bagged a lot of money. It's something that happened because grassroots groups got together
mm-hmm.
and put together a winning movement. And this was a movement that overcame a lot of obstacles, including the obstacle of the weakness of our candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll be clear that there's a shifting power base, not only within the Democratic Party, but within the country. And it's a power base that's really emphasizing activism. And some of that activism is email organized.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is community organized. But there's anyone who's got their eyes open has seen that something's happened in the last couple of years. Bush is very divisive. But one thing he's done is he's really united a lot of community and progressive groups. And some of these groups, we have to learn the lesson. It's not enough to throw Bush out. We then have to throw out the other bums, and many of them are leading the Democratic Party. And I just think that the spur of this election, you could see this taking shape a year ago, that there was activism in preparation a year ago like I've never seen in my lifetime. And so to take advantage of the energy we have to dump Bush and then move that into energy that can transform the progressive movement and the Democratic Party, I think then it's win-win.
So in terms of the activism, the base that you've been talking about, one of the things is we can't deliver them to a Democratic Party that's going to be Clinton years were the worst years for oppressed nationality communities. He's done more to stop welfare as we know it.
Build up the prisons with drug war.
So that's our challenge right now, and this is our dilemmas, is how do we continue to build a consciousness around the folks we're trying to organize in that it's a strategic vote so they can see the nuances, but at the same time, be aware that it's a huge dilemma. We are unsuccessful in our attempts to move Kerry and put our issues in the front.
See, I think that you can look back at the pattern. A good historical antecedent is Franklin Roosevelt.
Mm.
Franklin Roosevelt ran for office on a very mainstream, balanced the budget in the heart of a depression. He had a very moderate platform in 32, and he got elected, and then in 33, 34, 35, there's all sorts of upsurge, unemployed leagues, minorities organizing in cities, tenant unions, labor unions, and by 1936, it's a completely transformed program. It's a completely transformed party. And the New Deal, in a sense, grew out of these mass social movements. They certainly didn't grow out of Franklin Roosevelt and the tiny group around him that ran his election campaign in November 1932. So I'm not sure what you're expecting between now and November 2nd in terms of a shift from Kerry. What I'm concerned is, and by the way, if Bush is dumped on November 2nd, and we can assure that votes are counted and Bush is out of office, the parties, the celebrations in poor communities and progressive communities and communities of color, those celebrations are going to be something to behold, and they're going to be righteously deserved. But on November 3rd and 4th and 5th, when we begin focusing, I think that's where the key is. This, if people are working inside the Democratic Party needs to be taken over town by town, county by county, and already I see that happening. In my little area, I live in upstate New York, the Democratic Party just had an internal vote, and the progressives swept into power. I live in a unique community, but it was an effort that said, look, this even in our town, the Democratic Party is ossified. We can take it over, and we can stand for something, and in the building of this fight against Bush, we can then go forward and make sure that we start nominating people for office. Don't have to hold our nose and vote for them.
Are you trying to say that from now to November, you're not putting any effort into getting Kerry to take a better stance on the war, civil rights, women's rights?
No. Everything I say is critical of Kerry, and every advice I've given toward him or his grouplet, publicly or privately, has been you're not going to win unless you can ignite your base. You're in fact demobilizing your base. And if you haven't learned from Gore 4 years ago, then you don't have your eyes open. But again, I believe that the most important thing is what's going to happen on November 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Defeating Bush is what we're doing now. And then November 3rd, I'm looking at Progressive Democrats of America. I'm looking at all the artists that are on tour. I'm looking at the tour of Michael Moore and Jim Hightower and Barbara Ehrenreich. You know, you're looking at activists who are way more progressive than the corporatists that are so close to Kerry, who are out there campaigning, and there's networks that are being built. There's email lists that are being built. There's community groups that are being built. And these are groups that can be brought to bear to push Kerry or oppose Kerry in the coming years. The key is to get Bush out in November 2nd and then continue building with the networks that are much more advanced now than they were half a year, a year ago, 2 years ago. It's truly been stunning.
Would you take out any ads urging Kerry to the left on the issues we talked about, the war, civil rights, and women's rights?
I would love to see ads of that nature. I remember the email letter that was signed by Danny Glover, Howard Zinn, and Susan Sarandon pushing on Kerry on the war. Now, Kerry's speech on the war at NYU was inadequate in my view, but it's the best thing he's done so far. Believe me, that didn't come out of the blue. It came out of the fact that anti-war people have been leaning on, pushing on Kerry for months, and including groups that it's indispensable that he keep them active. I'm thinking of groups that can raise millions of dollars on the Internet in small donations for him. And they wanted him to come out clearer over the war month after month, and the speech of a week ago was a step in the right direction.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. We've been talking with Jeff Cohen, founder of FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and a co-author of several books, including Wizards of Media Oz, Behind the Curtains of Mainstream News. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tammy.
So that was our show for today, Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour. Thanks for joining us. We'd like to thank our guests, Emmanuel Wallerstein for the Ferdinand Bonnell Center at Binghamton University, and Jeff Cohen with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. We had music from Critical Resistance, Dead Prez, and Gil Scott-Heron. We'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, and our engineer, Maggie LaPique. See you next week. Up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Weissman. She'll be interviewing John Nichols on his new book, Dick, The Man Who Is President. We'll check you out next week.
You've been listening to the 4 o'clock report with Tammy Lou and Eric Mann. It's Voices from the Frontline edition on listener supported KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles and 8.7 FM Santa Barbara, and on the World Wide Web, kpfk.org. Stay tuned for Beneath the Surface with host Susie Weissman as she speaks with author John Nichols, who will be talking about his new book, Dick the Man, Who Is President, and more. It's coming up next.